Can you name that city? Population hovers right around 100,000. Founded over 100 years ago on the lumber industry. You figure it out? The seventh largest city in the state. A city situated on a river. One with a crime rate that's just a little bit higher than the surrounding area. A fine children's museum is there in that city. Have you got it figured out? Manufacturing is the principal source of income there. What city is that? In April of 2014, the city faced significant challenges. The crime rate was up, and homelessness was on the rise for the sixth year in a row. There was a budget deficit that really crippled their way to do everything they had to do. And so leaders in that city decided to switch water source to the local river. It was a way to save money. There were concerns about contamination. But with such limited funds, they decided to risk it. And so they suspended all the treatment and testing protocols. And then by March of 2015, it was clear that the lead levels were up. And children began showing up at the local hospital with lead poisoning. What city? See, you were thinking Everett, weren't you? Even with proof that people were getting sick, that kids were being harmed, they took no action. In fact, the city manager even went on TV and drank a big glass of city water to show that it was safe. Still no inspections, still no disclosures, still no review, no leadership from the city. Flint, Michigan had failed. Flint, Michigan had failed the test. They failed as a community. They failed as a system. Leadership lost its nerve. It was a collapse of character, a collapse of good judgment, and just fundamental integrity. A community that, when faced with trials, when faced with challenge, succumbed to the temptation to take shortcuts. They chose expedience over the well-being of their people. They succumbed to the temptation of turning a blind eye, wishfully thinking that it would become somebody else's problem eventually. The wealthy and privileged and powerful classes took advantage of the poorer and the weaker and the more vulnerable members of that community. It brought shame on a once great city. I suppose it's easy to point at Flint and wag our fingers. Easy to point at Flint and criticize the mess that they've made. I suppose it's easy for us to point at Flint and feel morally superior, right? But what if we held up a mirror to ourselves, to our own congregation, to our own community, to our own families? Faced a test only to fail. Faced trials only to shrink back. Only to sort of cover our tails. Faced temptations only to cave in. Luke's gospel tells the story of another that faced trials and testing and temptation. Luke's gospel uses the Greek word pyrosmos, which is, well, loosely test, or to analyze. The one who does the testing is called diabolos, and it's a lowercase d. We sometimes think of a character with a pitchfork and a tail or something. It's really more along the lines of a code enforcement officer. It's really the one who comes like a proctor at an exam. It's the one whose duty it is to come and test the quality of construction. It's this one who comes along and has the responsibility to look for integrity, to look for safety, to look for completeness. It's the one who comes to see and to prove whether or not there's real righteousness in this one. Now, it's no surprise, and well, that the narrative would show by some means, some demonstration of this Christ, this Messiah, this Son of God, is solid. That this one is up to the task, is up to code. We might say this one is ready for the challenge. Because indeed, a challenge, a calling, and a weight that is so great, he would have to undergo the hardest testing of all. Why? Why? Because what's at stake is so important. Because what's at stake is the well-being of all of God's beloved. The testing would require 40 days and would stretch this Christ, stretch him to his limits. Now, the first readers of Luke's narrative, Luke's version, his gospel, would have remembered testing of other characters. They would have remembered Eve and Adam being tested in the garden. Remember the tree? Remember the snake? We say an apple, but it doesn't actually say that in the text. But can you have do you have the scene in your head? Eve was offered a chance to be like God, and she took it. Adam was offered food, and he bit into that thing without even asking a question. Jesus, too, is offered power. Jesus, too, is offered food. He's even offered a life without the burden of gravity and space and time. But what's he do? What does Jesus do? He passes the test, right? He quotes from Scripture. He sends that code enforcement officer away, at least until a more opportune time, as it says. I don't know if I've told you this one before, but there were pastors, four of them, who decided to go off on a retreat together. So they went to this remote cabin, you know, far, far away. And while they were there, they decided to share with one another their most difficult temptations. The first pastor was, well, kind of embarrassed. He explained that he really, really liked those swimsuit editions of Sports Illustrated every year. Well, right away, the second pastor kind of stopped him and said, "Oh, man, that's nothing. You know, I can't help myself. Most Saturdays, I find myself at the racetrack betting on the ponies." It was about that time that the third pastor said, "You know, I haven't told anyone this before, but sometimes I'll go down in the sacristy and I'll just spend the whole afternoon down there sipping on the communion wine." Well, the fourth pastor said, "Oh gosh, you know, my temptation is the worst of all. You see, I'm a gossip, and I just can't help it. I find myself telling people what others said, and if you'll excuse me for a minute, I want to check the cell service up here in the..." Sometimes it finally went. You know, sometimes we giggle at things like that because they're true. Because we're the ones who get caught. We know the joke's on us. I'm being tested. I'm being tempted. Those trials, that pyrosmos, oh, it feels like that diabolos, that tester, that code enforcer is pressing down hard. Can you name that city? Population at the time was about 1.6 million, and nearly half of that number were slaves. Who was in charge? Claudius. It was in the 270s AD, just about a quarter of a millennium after Jesus. Christian communities were sprouting up all over the place. This threat to the empire, they had growing influence and posed more and more risk to the emperor's designs. Some of those Christians resisted. Some of those Christians even resisted to the point of death. Martyrs, we called them. They would rather face wild animals in the Colosseum than deny their Lord. Eaten alive, burned alive, slaughtered for the amusement of the crowds. And their leader, their bishop, Valentinius, was one among them. He faced trial and torture and execution and remained faithful to the end. But what if he hadn't? What if he'd capitulated? What if Valentinius had given in to fear and pain and humiliation? Would we remember his name today? Probably not. Because God would have called somebody else. God would have sent another. God would have sustained another for the task. Because God in Jesus Christ has already won the battle. God in Jesus Christ has already faced the trials, already been raised from the hardest test of all, even death. I think some of us like tests. We like the idea of being graded, being regarded as superior, at least to somebody else. We take a kind of perverse satisfaction in seeing someone else who's more goofed up than I am. Well, at least my kids turned out better than hers. You played that game? At least I'm, well, more generous with my money than he is. Or at least I don't judge one another quite as much as so-and-so. The snake in the garden, the devil in the wilderness, maybe that's us. Maybe we're the ones putting this Lord to the test. We're the ones criticizing others. We're the ones ranking others, forgetting that we're all failures, forgetting that we've all fallen. We're all broken. We're all failed. We're all unworthy. Oh, grace. And grace again. Oh, grace upon grace. Amen.